Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into another edition of the Bartholomew Town Podcast. It's Bill Bartholomew here with you for new episodes every Tuesday and Friday. And of course, we've got the archive waiting for you at ripodcast.com, Spotify, or wherever you listen. We are well over 300 episodes of conversations with Rhode Island media members, political figures, artists, business leaders, healthcare leaders, whatever. It's right there waiting for you. And always a pleasure to have you on board here on the podcast. Today, we welcome Jay Flanders. He is the HUD Project Director at the Commission for Human Rights here in Rhode Island, which is something that, if you're like me, and probably most Rhode Islanders, you had no idea existed. And this is a fascinating discussion. Really, Jay's role pertains to housing discrimination. This is the agency that was really involved in the income discrimination legislation that just passed, that was just signed by Governor Dan McKee back in April. And in other words, you can't be a landlord or somebody who's a property owner of any sort and discriminate against a tenant based on the source of their income, whether it's Section 8, Social Security, so on and so forth. But the organization, if you will, the Commission for Human Rights, it examines any number of different discriminatory areas that we see in the state. So I didn't even know this existed. Jay reached out, and it was an eye-opening conversation into something that's obviously very important here in Rhode Island and anywhere. So you'll also find out how you can interact with this operation, both public-facing and from a confidential perspective. So stick around. An important conversation with Jay Flanders, HUD Project Director at the Commission for Human Rights here in Rhode Island, on Rhode Island's podcast of record, B-Town. You recently became the HUD Project Director at the Commission for Human Rights. What does that mean? What exactly? That's an interesting title. I'm curious, like, where does that take you?
I think it'd probably be best for me to explain what the Commission for Human Rights is first. Because it's really a shame that not a lot of people know we even exist. And we're, I believe, a pretty important function of the government. So the Commission for Human Rights, we're the state agency that enforces state and federal anti-discrimination law. We do employment, we do housing, we do credit and lending, we do public accommodations, which is anything like bars, restaurants, hotels, any place that's open to the public. So we deal with things like race discrimination. I mean, there's about 15 different protected categories I could just run through, but race, color, disability, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity expression, religion, and housing. We have something called family status, which is children under 18, families with children under 18. The new one in housing, which came out April 15th, is legal source of income, which is something that we're trying to push, you know, everybody knowing, because it's something other states have had that we haven't had. So we're a neutral investigating agency. We don't advocate, we don't give legal advice. We're strictly a neutral agency that gathers evidence and determines whether or not there is a violation of law. And so we have employment cases and housing cases, obviously. And I'm the HUD project director. So it's my job to take in all of the housing cases, to do the intake, to determine if there's jurisdiction. I manage our contract with Housing and Urban Development. So we have contracts with the EEOC, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and HUD, where if a case meets certain federal jurisdictional requirements, it's co-filed through our agency and we investigate on their behalf. So I'm responsible for the housing side of that, making sure that we fulfill our contract obligations, that the cases that are jurisdictional federally are also filed with HUD. I delegate cases, I investigate cases, anything that's housing related goes through.
and housing. And that's that, that of course is a major breakthrough here in Rhode Island in April, that the discrimination based on source of income. In other words, if you are a recipient of Section 8 or any other program that is counts towards your income, a landlord or anybody can't say, well, we don't want to rent to you because we don't want to rent to anybody that's on Section 8. That is now essentially, I guess that's the gist of or any government program. There's that's the gist of what you're doing now.
That's our new protected category. So Section 8 is the big one. I mean, that's been a problem for years. And my agency and a couple other agencies as well, South Coast Fair Housing really did the study on it that got it finally pushed through. But we've been going to the legislature for the last 20 something years, asking for this to be added to our law, the Fair Housing Practices Act. And finally, with a change of leadership, that finally went through. And so any lawful source of income. So Section 8 is the big one. Social Security is another one. Disability is another one. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of misperceptions about what type of people have Section 8, unfortunately. And so that's where that whole I don't want to rent to somebody with Section 8 comes from. And if you really think about it, that's discrimination in and of itself, is false assumptions and false information leading to some pretty ignorant behavior, unfortunately.
Definitely. Yeah, no question about it. When I was in New York, I had a zillion part-time jobs. And at one point I noticed I had a bunch of people that were like musicians or whatever, that they were doing real estate. They were just basically renting out apartments, you know? And so I was like, all right, let me try that. Because it seems like you can sort of just show up at a building, open a door, and make like $1,500 really quickly. I left after a very short period of time because I noticed how corrupt and abusive this was. They would have, and again, this is in New York, not here, and it's a few years ago, but you know, my boss would say, no vouchers, no Section 8. There was actually one building that they sent out, hey, here, congratulations, real estate agents, you know, you were showing this new building on Monitor Street in Greenpoint. It's got a rooftop deck and this, that, and the other. And then in bold, it said absolutely no Africans. So, I mean, this is the kind of stuff I saw this up close and personal. And look, I don't know if anyone's doing that here, but look, housing discrimination has so many different layers to it. There's the gatekeeping aspect of it where you just can't afford to live in most places in Rhode Island now, especially if you're talking coastal Rhode Island. But there are people who own properties who have a gatekeeping mentality that they want a certain quote unquote class or cut of humanity to rent their properties. And that creates a spiral that only deepens the housing crisis.
Right. There's something in the law called steering, where someone's looking for an apartment and say you're Hispanic, you may say you want to live somewhere like Newport or Barrington, but they're like, no, you might be more comfortable going to like Providence or Central Falls.
Yeah.
And we've seen that being a problem here and there. Discriminatory advertising, you don't really see it. Most landlords are savvy enough not to do that, but we've seen it every once in a while, but not often enough. And one place that we've seen it, which is kind of tricky, is Craigslist. That's a very tricky way to kind of case to investigate, because it's like, where is Craigslist type of thing. It's not like a publisher that you can contact and say, hey, you're running a discriminatory ad. It's quite the interesting. I mean, though I say interesting, it was frustrating for us, to be honest. But I mean, that we've had those cases. But thankfully, most publications won't even run them because they understand they can't run discriminatory advertising. And I know under the federal law, you always hear this thing called Mrs. Murphy's exemption, right? Mm-hmm. Which under the federal law, if you have 4 units or less and you live in one of the units, if you're the owner, so 4 units or less, owner occupied, that is basically exempt from the federal law in terms of discriminating. Unless you advertise, like even with that, you cannot advertise discriminatorily. That's also illegal. As is, the exemption also goes away if you use a rental agency or some sort of realtor to help you rent out the units.
Wow. So there's a lot of loopholes in this matter that people are certainly savvy enough to take advantage of. And it's, yeah, this is important stuff. So, I mean, you're totally right. I don't think I knew that this agency existed. And I don't think most people do. So you mentioned, broadly speaking, let's zoom out from just the housing matters. Like, what other stuff do you do? And like, what would you describe like your day-to-day function as in a broad sense?
A vast majority of our cases are employment. You would think it would be the other way around, but we get, I would say, 5 times more employment cases than we do housing cases here at the commission. And we deal with reasonable accommodations and disabilities, a big one. And housing service animals and emotional support animals is kind of our biggest one. But what we are is we're an investigative agency. So someone says I was discriminated against because of X, Y, and Z, and we deal with like promotions, anything. If you're fired, unequal discipline, we cover sexual harassment. We're actually in the state law where the agency mandated to give the state Senate annual training in sexual harassment. So that's one of the big ones that we do. Like I said, service animals, emotional support animals. There's such a wide variety of things. Like I said, there's about 13 different protected categories that we cover, at least in housing. I think there's 11. One of the other ones that we cover that people don't realize is Ban the Box. That came out about 6-7 years ago, I think. And that's the law that says you can't ask if you've been convicted of a crime on an application. So we actually cover that as well. So if someone sees, you know, have you been convicted of a crime on an application? Come to us. We're the ones who handle that kind of case. They can ask you at the first interview or afterwards, but for most part, that's not allowed on the application. Day to day, everybody here has a caseload between 40 to 50 cases at one time.
Holy moly!
We're investigating it.
That's a lot. And how many people are doing these investigations?
We have about 6 investigators, I think.
Wow.
Our agency is only 13 people. Yeah, we have 13 people in the agency, and we cover the entire state.
Uh-huh.
We have one person that does all the employment intake, one person, which is me now, which does the housing intake. And then we have, you know, a couple admin people, two attorneys, executive director, and the 6 or 7 investigators that we have. And we're a little short staffed right now because we had some turnover, but we're trying to fill in those gaps so we can, you know, have more people investigating cases and get them out of here.
The employment thing is so interesting because right now we have this ongoing saga of, and I think there is some quote unquote correction happening in the marketplace, especially as people look and say, hey, look, I'm going to be off unemployment in a few months. Let me try to get at a job that'll get me ahead, so to speak. So, hey, you know, in the next few months, I'll be set to go forward. But are you seeing an increase or a decrease in employment claims now that people are in small business, mid-sized business are kind of desperate for workers? Do you find that this could be a correction in terms of employment discrimination where people are saying, look, I need workers. It doesn't matter to me anyway, not legal, illegal to ask. It doesn't matter. I need people. That's my priority.
Well, I mean, I don't think we've seen any kind of change in the numbers. We're honestly pretty steady throughout. As more people are applying for jobs, maybe we will see an uptick. It depends on what's going on. But right now, there really hasn't been a change in the numbers, and it hasn't really affected us much. It's really interesting because we always think that whenever there's a new protection or something new comes out that, or there's a big hot button, big hot button topic that all of a sudden we're going to get this big increase. Like I can't remember how long ago it was, there was something about hijabs. There was about allowing hijabs in the workplace and something to deal with Muslims. We did not see an uptick in case. We thought we were going to get, you know, the big flood coming in, but And I think part of that, and I hate to say this, is nobody knows we exist.
Yeah.
Well, not nobody, but not enough people. I do outreach. So one of the other things you asked is, what do? We also do education and outreach. So we will go to companies, we'll go to real housing complexes or wherever. I recently did one with the Rhode Island Realtors Group regarding the new source of income law. And all of our services are free. We don't charge for investigations. We don't charge for the education and outreach. We don't charge for any of that. It is free of charge, which I really need to say, because a lot of people are sometimes worried about like government fees. Like if you go to the DMV, how much are you being charged just to get a license?
Yeah.
We do not charge for that. It's your right to file a charge with us and for us to investigate it. And we're not going to charge you for that. But yeah, we do. Not enough people know we exist. And that's partially why I've reached out to you, is because, especially with the new source of income law, I want as many people to know that we are around, mm-hmm. that we're here. And so I think that's really our biggest problem is we do very good work. I've been here 20 years, started as an intern, and I've just, stayed here, and now here I am as the HUD project director. And I wouldn't have stayed here that long if I didn't think what we did was important. It's just, yes, we have a lot of work, but we would like as much work as possible, because then we would, one thing that we always, that we say is, well, one of our old executive directors, Gene Booth, great guy. He made a quote to our other, I say it, sorry. Gene Booth was the executive director when I started. And right now our executive director is Michael Evora. And what Gene said to Michael, and it was a great quote, is, your job is to try to put yourself out of business, meaning to eliminate discrimination.
Yep.
And we can't do that if people don't come to us and give us the opportunity to do that. So that is what our function is try to eliminate discrimination. And I know I'd say I want more work. Eventually, I want no work, because it would be good to be able to put ourselves out of business.
Yeah.
Meaning that our job was done and we did it right. But we can't do that unless people come to us and let us know what's going on out there.
We'll take a quick break here. Let's get into, with COVID, with kind of moving back to reopening, how people can interact with their government. And if you see something, even if you're not the victim, how you can interact with this institution, and in general, try to put you out of business, so to speak. This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast, Rhode Island's podcast of record, back right after this. B-Town. Hey fam, do you want to start your own podcast, or do you have a pod that you'd like to take to the next level? Well, let me help you out. Send me an email, bill@ripodcast.com, or text me 401-524-6825. I'll show you how B-Town Media has helped other clients reach their podcasting goals, and you may be surprised at just how affordable it is. That's bill@ripodcast.com. Okay, so with COVID, we saw a massive shift in not only obviously the horrors of the pandemic, but also just the nature of work, housing. It exposed a tremendous amount of information about the discriminatory elements of our society. So let's say you witness something, you bear witness, you're not the direct complainant, but you know, or you suspect that a building is discriminating in terms of finding tenants, an employer, you work somewhere and you say, you know what? I wasn't entitled to a promotion, but the person that sits next to me should be my boss right now, should have been promoted. They weren't. I believe it's because they have a particular religious viewpoint or political viewpoint or the color of their skin or whatever it may be. How can someone, or of course, if you're the victim of discrimination yourself, but how can people interact and interface with you, and what does that process look like?
Right. First thing I want to say is, even if you're not the victim, especially in harassment cases, there's something called a hostile work environment, where even if you're not the target of the harassment, you can still file a charge with us based on the hostile work environment. A lot of people don't know that. They think they have to be the actual target of harassment, but you don't. So if you're in an environment like there's sexual harassment going on and they're not correcting it and you're uncomfortable with it, come and talk to us. We have a website, www.richr.ri.gov. On there, you'll see a contact us tab, and there's emails for the housing division, the employment division, and just general info from the commission. Our intake forms are on there as well. So you can download them, fill them out, and then email them back to us. And that'll start the process of filing a charge with the commission. You can give us a call, 401-222-2661. And then you'll get the operator up front, and they'll point you to the right person. So what happens is, if you do call us, just you talk to what's called the information officer of the day. And what they'll do is ask you a lot of questions just to make sure it's within our jurisdiction. And then if they feel that it is in employment, they'll send you the form that you can actually download off the website. In housing, we do it a little bit differently because our contract with HUD's a little bit different, where if you call in, it's usually right on the spot, I'll write the charge and then send that out to you. The charges do have to be notarized. You have to get them signed and notarized, but we have notaries on staff, and we actually are doing them virtually as well. Because of the COVID issue, the governor's executive order stated that we can do virtual notaries, so you don't have to come in. We are trying to discourage people from coming in as much as possible right now, just because of the COVID thing and trying to keep the public safe and keep our staff safe as well. But it's not, you're not barred from doing it. We would rather either through the email or through the telephone. That's the best way to contact us.
Is there a way for people to do confidential, or at least get the ball rolling in terms of an investigation in a confidential manner?
Yes. Okay. There is this, we have a tool called testing. We use it mainly in housing because it's a lot easier to do, but we can use it in employment as well. So if we find out that, say, probably going to use it more for the source of income, to be honest, if we hear that this landlord doesn't want to rent to somebody that has, you know, source of income, you know, they don't want to rent to somebody with Section 8. We work with South Coast Fair Housing. And what they do is they send people out basically undercover to go apply for this housing. They send some that have the Section 8 and some that don't have the Section 8 in their qualifications. And then they compare the results to see if they were treated differently and why they were denied the housing. And then South Coast, I believe, is the one that actually files the charge because they're the one who did the testing. We've done testing ourselves as well. We had one against an employment agency that would, on anybody who was disabled, write "do not use" on their application. And we found that to actually be true. So we sent a few people in to go apply for position. And the person who was less qualified but was not disabled got a call back, but the person who was disabled didn't. And they were more qualified based on the qualifications that we sent them in with. For the most part, we can't really test if someone's not being promoted because we don't have employees who are there as, I hate to say, like undercover agents, is the worst way to put it. But if it's like an application thing, then we can definitely test that. Like someone doesn't want to hire because of, you know, pregnancy or sex or race or color. We've tested pregnancy before, I believe, in housing as well, because, you know, landlords just didn't want a quote, loud kid in the house. So they were not denying housing to a pregnant woman because they were afraid of, you know, the baby was going to be too loud. So, we do have that tool to kind of, we don't use it that often, just because not that many people come to us. We would probably be able to do it more often if more people alerted us to something that was happening. And thank God for South Coast Fair Housing, who does all that for us. They're a great organization as well that can help out with the housing stuff.
Yeah, this is all really killer important stuff. And I'm so glad that we had this conversation because it's important for people to know that there's resources inside the halls of government for them to navigate this world. So thanks for your work. And like I said, you know, not to look put you out of a job, but hopefully you're out of business someday.
Indeed. I mean, that is the goal, because the goal is to get rid of discrimination or eliminate it.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do every day. And if we can't eliminate it, at least protect people who are who are victims of it. That's what we do.
Rhode Island's podcast of record, B-Town.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.